وعلى أهل بيته ومن عمل وعلم وتمسك وبشر بسنته إلى يوم الدين صلى الله عليه وسلم. الحمد لله رب العالمين Well, in the beginning or in the inception, I am morally obliged to observe one of the most important protocols or methods of social interaction in giving to each according to his status, his contribution, his importance. Though everybody is important, but the rule we use to evaluate people in terms of their importance and significance is the degree of their contribution to society in whatever form possible. Either it is by warning them, teaching them, advising them, counseling them, guiding them, showing them the right practice. And we welcome everybody here, and we thank the organizing committee of this auspicious gathering here, the Islamic Club, for having or developing the spirit of organizing lectures to enhance, to increase their understanding of current issues that are highly relevant to their survival as people, Gambians in particular, as Muslims religiously, as Africans internationally. But I must pay a very deep, respectful, honorable commendation to my own ustaz, my imam, and a mentor and a role model in a society where it is very difficult, even among the Islamic scholars, to get somebody whom you can just point at and say, this is my mentor. He is none other than my great man, Imam Chair, sitting on my left side. Really, what I say about him is not because he is present, it's something that I experience and I live with. And he is a source of inspiration and encouragement for me, which was practically demonstrated by him through a call he was able to undertook when I was giving a program on Al-Falah Radio. When he called the entire body of the youth in the Gambia to be very much subservient, not in the sense of being slaves, but to be people who should listen to what we were saying and to follow it. And my great man, Ustaz Ja, is in the midst, a highly honorable person, and I think Majan, Ustaz Majan too is around. My respect, my commendation and salutations to them. You know, Mr. Samu too is here. We're very sorry, I don't know the names anymore. Mr. Samu, we salute you and greet you and accord you with your position, and we say you are highly welcome. In the kingdom of the giants, there is always a bigger giant. And nobody is a greater giant in this country than my professor, Mr. Omar Khan. I want a big applause for him. Really, this man is a giant, is gifted, is talented, is skilled, and is a hard-working young man. All what he is doing, don't be amazed or don't be taken by surprise that it came overnight. No, I know him since he was in St. Augustine's. He has always been relentless. He has always been hardworking, inquiring, asking, questioning. He was constantly coming to me. But I even never knew that one day this guy would become the greatest of the great. And here he is. And he is demonstrating it. May Allah give him long life, prosperity, good health, and enlighten his mind. And for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to just cause the emergence of so many like him in this society. Rather than going about insulting people, going about not knowing what you should know, pretending that you know, going about saying that's at beyond your level, going against your good cultural, institutions, going around good words of wisdom, wasting your time in attire, in films, in video clips. Why can't you emulate this Omar Kandi, a professor, and become one of the greatest of the greatest? He said it in the last part of his statement, closing statement, anything you think it is impossible is possible. That's the right. Anything you think is impossible is possible. You can even fly if you want. You can even break the concrete wall if you want. Very simple. So there is no impossibility under the sun, because Allah created you to be the representative, to be the envoy, to be the deputy vicegerent in this earth. As long as Allah has empowered you with knowledge, then there is no impossibility under the sun. So for that matter, this is the first preparation psychologically that you should put in your mind, that all of you can become great scientists. Anything you want to become, you can become of it. Your Quran has given you that method, how you can become a great person. Surah Yusuf, when that small boy saw a vision, a dream, that 11 stars, the 11 planets, the moon and the sun were prostrating, were bowing before him. He explained the vision to the father, a good father. The father automatically put that word of encouragement in the minds of that young man, that you one day you will become a great man. And eventually, ultimately, he became a great man. So you can be a great, all of you, either a man or a, whether the girls or the boys, all of you can become great. But anyway, not to waste most of the time, let me just go straight to the topic that you've assigned me to dilate on, that is to talk about. I will try as much as possible to speak in the lowest level of English, though it is not my liking. I don't like it to be speaking to Gambians in English, because the more I'm speaking, the more I'm killing your world of language, your Mandinka language, Manjako language, Fulan language, you name it. The more I'm using English, the more you are dying. It's a problem, because if you lose your language, you lose your identity. And when you lose your identity, you don't have any humanity. You cannot be a Gambian, nor an African, and at the end of the day, your Islamic culture has to disappear because you lose your language. So that's why, because you like it, I'm a resource person, I cannot set the conditions, I will use the language you prefer. And we have a problem in the Gambia. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. We have that problem in the Gambia. It's not a problem. Diversity in unity, unity in diversity, is the most beautiful thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Because if I want to use Mandinka, some of you might not be able to understand what I'm saying. But anyway, let us go straight to the topic that is called secularism. But before I go into secularism, there is another big problem in the Gambian mental presentation or mental structure. We are always reacting, we are never active. Because now everybody is talking about secularism, everybody. But very few people understand what is secularism. In fact, some people even went to the level of misinterpreting at this time, saying that, okay, irreligiosity, well, there would be no religion. You know, our problem is we are reactive. When people are reactive, they are always misinformed or underinformed. You don't do things except when you hear that something happened. No, you think about it before it comes. And you ask yourself, what is the importance of what, this topic or this terminology or this new thing that I want to talk about? What is the importance? Because sometimes something might be very insignificant, which means it has no importance, but because you are just continuously talking about it, it will just develop another level of importance in your mind. Secularism has never been an issue with the Muslims. Even with the Europeans, it has never been an issue. But in the Gambia, I mean, for of recent, you always hear secularism, secularism, secularism. I mean, the more secularism you are saying, the greater you are giving this word the importance that it is not entitled to. So we should be very careful. But before that, if we say secularism is bad, you see, our problem as Muslims is very, it's not good to say we, but we have a problem because we are not following the methodology of the Quran and the principles of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We like to say these things with our mouths, but we are not walking it practically. Because Islam is a religion. When Islam tells you that this is not good, Islam will always give you something which is better. But if I tell you secularism is bad, what is the other system that you have as a substitute when you remove secularism? What is the other system? Where is your intellectual power? Where is your economic power? Where is your political theory? Where is your democratic value? Where is your social cohesion? Where is your spiritual sophistication? Where is your mental maturity? Are you with me? Are you seriously with me? Ask yourself, where are these values? Because it will always end up where secularism is bad, it is against Islam, it is antichrist, it is this. At the end of the day, everybody goes home without any benefits. We don't like that. We want to be Quranic and we want to be Sunnahic. If you like that kind of a new word, you understand that? We want our lives to be based on the Quran, not by quoting or praying, but by doing it substantially in our life. وَنَزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ تِبِيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَرَحْمَةً وَهُدًى وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. Is it not true? Is it not true? I think this is in Surah An-Nahl, verse 89, if I'm not mistaken. Well, my memory is getting old. My prophet's memory is growing greater. I think you get my point? So this is very important. What is secularism? Can somebody just stand and help us just for 3 minutes and tell us what is secularism? Because if you are not able to define secularism, there is no use for me to waste my time and your time. And my brother said it. If they say listen, it requires 4 processes. Sometimes he speaks very powerful philosophical thesis. If you are not careful, you cannot understand it. And this is from the Holy Quran. فَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَانْصِتُوا. the process, each of these process has two aspects, and 2 + 2 = 4. It's what he is trying to tell you. And in Sittat, you close all these sources of disturbance from external. And Istima, you allow that intensive inculcation of what is being read from the Quran into your mind. 2 aspects, 4. Are you doing it? We have a problem. Had I got it my own way, I will destroy all the schools in the Gandhi and construct a new school. And if I am allowed, I will do it in 24 hours and construct new schools in 24 hours. It's an impossibility to your mind, but to me it's not an impossibility. If I am able to cure one Gambian student in 24 hours, he will be able to cure 24 Gambians in 24 hours. We have a problem. So what is secularism? It's English, and it's in, the dictionary is there. What is secularism? Let somebody help us with. Come forward, anybody. Because without giving your definitions, I cannot just walk on the topic. Okay, what is it?
According to the dictionary, secularism is a doctrine that rejects religion and religious consideration. In my own words, secularism is a system that pays no regard to religion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. A very bright student. Well, secularism, I mean, that is the ordinary definition of secularism. That is to remove the influence of religion in social and national, the running of social and national affairs, for you to understand. Not to remove religion, but to remove religious influences. There are two things. You can secularize a nation or a state, but you cannot secularize a community. You can secularize the laws of a state, but you cannot secularize a community. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look at the authenticity and the power of the Quran. The Quran never called a state dawla. And dawla in Arabic, it means something that moves, that rotates. And in Arabic, when you say watan al-muwatan wal-watana, it's a place where you stand. It means your local, your standing position. When look at the Quran, the term it uses in preparation for the emergence of this ideology called secularism. You can secularize a state, the laws and the running of the affairs of the state, but you can never secularize the community. That's why the Quran says in Surah Ali Imran, I think in Surah Al-Baqarah or Ali Imran, I'm not very sure, but I think it is in Baqarah. وَلْتَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةً. The Quran didn't say وَلْتَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ دَوْلَةً. الْأُمَّةً. An ummah is a group of people, either an individual having an independent, liberated, redemptive idea or principles living according to those ideas. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah said, Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanita, and he was the only person, but he embodies, he reflects, and he has all the qualities of all the good of an ummah. Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanita. Waltakum minkum umma. Al Quran didn't say dawla, or Quran didn't say watan. That's why we have in political science still now a controversy, a nation state and a nation. You know, this is how they demean or distort, they confuse our mind. They will tell us that the third world doesn't have, it's not yet developed to have a nation state. But we are a nation of cocktail people. Different cultural backgrounds, different linguistic realities, different world outlooks. But the same thing exists in their societies. So that's why we must be very careful. Whatever divination comes to us from the West is not our enemy. They are not our opponents. It is a competition between us and the West. Who is going to be the best of the best in this war? That's the only thing. And the best, the West is not better than you. It is only that you were colonized and you are made to believe and feel that you are lower than the Western mind, not the Eastern mind. Whatever is said in the Gambia, they say, no, you cannot say it, you cannot do it, because it has not come from Arabia, it has not come from London. That's our problem. So that's why we must be very careful. What is secularism? Secularism simply means to remove the influence of religion, whatever religion, from the running of the affairs of society and government. Which means everything regarding the running of the affairs of society and government has to come from intellectual or human endeavors. That is the ideas of man. Man is the source of all the laws and the principles that should be there to run the affairs of society and the nation. But you see, to prove that even this statement is a lie, this statement is a lie, to prove that, who created man and who is man? I think Allah created man. And Allah has given man the power to think. And whatever Allah has given man to think naturally is a good thing. That even if man thinks that this is the best, still now man is in the control of Allah. Then man cannot come out of the control of Allah. Then secularism is what? Is it a false or is it a truth? It's a false. Because we never had that secularism created man. But we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created man. So that's why it's very important to know this. You see, sometimes Muslims, because of the superficiality, because of our laziness, because of our inability to understand, because of somebody has conspired, somebody has fooled us not to use the powers of our mind, we think that everything is ready-made. You go to Professor Google, it just brings a cut and paste intellectual reality, a fact. You memorize that, you give it that to people. That is not humanity. Nobody should do that. That is the most dangerous weapon that they are using to fight against you. You are becoming a slave, and you are just inviting slavery onto yourself by going into Google, cutting the paste. You say, this sheikh has made this fatwa, this intellectual has made this idea. You paste it and brought it and use it as a tool for your argument. That's the greatest slavery that one can ever put himself in voluntarily. It's a problem. That's why sometimes when I think whether it is even necessary to be talking about this secularism, sometimes I feel it's not even necessary. Because we need to create people who understand, whose understanding reflects in their attitude, whose attitude is always positive, whose positivity is something there for progression. But the way we are moving is not good, and we're talking about Islam. And the Quran has given us everything. Let me ask you one question. Is the Quran the source of legislation? Or the Quran is a method of legislation? Huh? It's a source of legislation. But what is a source? It's something from where you take whatever you are doing as principles, isn't it? But you see, the Quran contains two principles. One principle is specific, and one is general. One is particular, and one is universal. You know why? Because praying, fasting, going to Mecca, ash-shahada la ilaha illallah, giving out zakat, these are principles that are not general, they are specifics. Nobody can remove, reduce something, and nobody can add anything onto it. Isn't it? Thank you very much. But there are principles that are general. That's why the Quran, whatever cannot be changed from Adam to the last man, the Quran will always explain them in detail. But whatever is subjected to change by man, time and space, based on the maturity and the development of man, intellectually, materially, spiritually, is subjected to change. They are called al-usulul am, al-mabadi'ul am, the general principles. And among them, that's why the system of governance in Islam is not specific, it's general. Secularism, removing the influence of religion, every religion, from the organizational process, the running of the affairs of a community or the nation. I say that is a fallacy. It is not real and it is not true. It is an idea that came as a consequence, as a result of something. Why? Because you need to understand that. Without understanding this, you will never understand. Because, okay, the enlightened student is able to define, at least in the ordinary sense, the meaning of secularism. But how did secularism came about in the 13th century in Europe? And it's the same thing that is gradually developing in the Islamic community, especially in the academic field. You know why secularism came in Europe? Because it was the church, the Catholic Church in Europe, that oppressed and suppressed the power of the mind of man. The intelligence of the mind was so oppressed, and nobody was allowed to think except and until what the church has given you. That is, you blow the light of your mind and you believe in darkness without seeing what is in the darkness. I think you get my point? And it's the same problem that is coming to the Ummah. Because the Ummah is being deceived not to use its mind. They will tell you somebody is a philosopher. Somebody's idea has no basis in religion. Somebody is there. And those people, it is a tragedy for such an idea, for such a statement to come out of the mouth of a Muslim. You know why? The first thing that Allah has given to man after the creation of Adam, the first value given to Adam was freedom to choose whatever is good, and freedom, a limited freedom, not to do whatever is bad. Listen to this very carefully. Absolute freedom, absolutely, al-hurriya al-mutlaqa, to do whatever is right. A conditional freedom not to do what is bad. Somebody will tell me, where is your evidence? Because this is the only field where Gambian scholars are very good. They are very good in that. Where is your evidence? If I say something, go and look for the evidence. You come and combat my statement with your evidence. I will give you my evidence as another soldier for us to combat each other's soldiers. Let me give you we are on a suicide mission. Let me give you the idea. Allah created Adam. The first thing given to Adam is absolute freedom to do whatever is good. Conditional freedom not to do whatever is bad. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِآدَمْ أُسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا. When we told Adam, reside in the garden with your spouse, your partner, and eat there of whatever you want to eat. Eating, is it a sin or it is good? Then the freedom is absolute. Freedom is absolute. وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ. But Allah didn't tell Adam, If you eat whatever in the garden, your body will be beautiful. You will become a white person. You will become a black person. You will become a brown person. Allah didn't tell him that. But Allah asked him just to do it. Because in righteous deeds, when you are doing something good, absolutely, when you do it, you are the very first person who will realize the benefit of the good you do. But when it comes to the other one, the condition not to do whatever is bad. وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَ. Don't go near to this tree. When Allah forbid them not to go near it, automatically Allah explained why they should never go near it. فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Because when you go near, automatically you will become people who has wronged themselves by going against my commandments and doing something that is going to be not beneficial but harmful to you. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay. So, I think the first thing given to Adam, the first value is freedom. Freedom to think, to do whatever is good without any condition. But there is a conditional freedom not to do whatever is evil. You know why secularism came to the West? Because people were denied the rights, the freedom to think for themselves. When the intellectuals realized that what the church is telling us and what we are watching at nature, what we are seeing in reality in nature, the tree, the wind, the stars, the moon, the planets, the seasons, the waters, man himself, of the anfitikum afala tubsirun, they rebel against the church. They develop that intellectual power called the power of the mind. This is how secularism came about. And I think the same problem is creating gradually in the Muslim community. People are being denied to think. People are not enjoying the freedom to think and do whatever is right, absolutely, but conditionally not to do whatever is evil. Malum falena ni kumo moyle ba nafu bandinga kanwala bang ni kumo tembo wara tele de ha opposite here ala moyba ala bra adama de da nala musaka ko alsi gardino kon alkamin ki the freedom gambia molman freedom farm freedom wolom kamalu freedom wolom ka ku kendoke freedom wolom ka bulake ba kendol noma. Freedom wolom kabula kila noma. Freedom wolom kabula alala ya maro noma. Freedom wolom kefa on respect. Freedom wolom kastodike. Freedom wolom ka examo pass. Freedom wolom kalondo soto. Freedom wolom yelondo lafa. Freedom yedo koke banko eta nyato. Freedom yekafu molkan. Freedom yesunyaro tuje. Freedom ifana yeke mo kenwo ti banko. Alako adamay ko famo fen diate ye ku kendo ak arjano amma absolute freedom wala tin na proka ku kendo ke it is you are free to do it bari kuja conditionole bije kanake ne kuja o ke akaboy famo le foloka wala tin na kay ko bra kay ko domoro ke amma fa domoro be min ke le famo la ne domoro kendo ke na fa min be domoro kendo la. If all follow Carlo and Janim Molubalo, but bring Puja or not a conditional lady, a Kaikana Sutiani Girola, Munia Sabu, Fatakuna, Mina Vadimi, near Puja or Kedorong, he paid a free to the Atoro Kabui from Oleka, and Abu Mulka, Emol Tora, Efomotora, double geopathy. So secularism emerged as a result of what? Improper utilization of mental intellectual power, suppression of the freedom to think. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Quran o kono siyatan nani anim kononto 49 times Allah is telling you to think of the sky, to think of the moon, to think of the air, to think of yourself. Afala yanzuruna ila al-ibli kayfa khulqat. Not to look with your eye, but to look with your mind and your intellect, to understand the nature and the principles that are moving those things. So at least we are afraid of secularism because we are a badly trained soldiers. We are a badly trained soldiers, that's why we are afraid of secularism. Otherwise, Muslims should never be afraid of secularism. But Muslims generally, universally, we are weak. We are poor in plenty, and we are just living by external appearances. My beard, my trousers, my clothing, the dark spot on my forehead, these are the things we go about. But the value, we never go after it. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلْقٍ عَظِيمٍ وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلْقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Because when your behavior is in accordance with the teachings and the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, automatically it is manifested in your interaction. But our interaction is little less than the interaction of the bird. So we must be very careful. That's why secularism, we should never be afraid of it. Because secularism is not true. Secularism is a fallacy. Secularism is an imagination. Secularism came as a result. If you tell me I don't want secularism, and you don't want to go, you never wanted to go into politics. It is we the Muslims who would tell people, no, politics is haram. And you don't want to go into politics. And in that politics, you should be in the parliament, because if you are not in the parliament, you cannot be part of the people who are legislating laws, and the laws they are legislating there may be called the law of secularism. And you say you don't want to go part of to be part of politics. Who are you? Is it not defeating your own idea? You're defeating yourself. You're defeating yourself, and you have a book. Surah Al-Isra, verse 9, Inna hadha al-Qur'an, Allah pointed it to you. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actually the Qur'an is the word of Allah. Allah knows that one day Muslims will be reading the Qur'an absent-mindedly. They will be absent-mindedly reading the Qur'an. That's why Allah would say, Inna hadha. Allah should have said, Inna al-Qur'an. But Allah said, Inna hadha. To point, to bring your mind from that distraction to that attention to the Quran. Inna hadha al-Quran yahdi lillati hiya aqwa. Look at this. It's guiding you to the best of the best. But yet we are the least guided of the least. You know why? Because our words, our ideas, and our actions are not reflected from the Quran. That's why there is contradiction in everything. Otherwise, nobody should have been afraid of secularism. Because secularism, Islam came to destroy the pillars of secularism. You know when was secularism very much famous? When Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commissioned and sent by Allah to Mecca. The first thing Muhammad destroyed was the principle of false religion. Was the principle of false religion. Idols, 361 idols. Islam, in one single statement, destroyed the entire concept of idolism. La ilaha illallah. So if a religion that you are a member, a believer, came 1,440 years and was able to destroy the most entrenched, established concept and principle of false religiosity called paganism, if that deal is able to destroy that, you should never be afraid of secularism. In fact, even the word is no more using secularism for your understanding. That's why I say sometimes it's useless to be discussing about these topics. You know why? Because somebody just started these topics here in the Gambia, so that they can engage our minds to turn our attention from good things to unnecessary things. Otherwise, a good Muslim should never think of that. Do you know that secular is a verb? Isn't it? To secularize, sorry, is a verb. Secular can be a noun and a verb. Secularization is a noun. Secularism become a concept. And how many isms do you have in the world? Communism, socialism, paganism. The isms and the isms are killing the African, particularly the Ghanaian. Whatever you see the isms, fully understand that it is a man-made idea. You have no time to waste your time on that. Your Quran has given you kullu shayin. وَنَزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَا فَرَطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And your Quran has given you everything. So I'll give you a way how you're going to defeat. You're going to battle. You're going to combat. And you're going to kill. You're going to slaughter. And you're going to bury secularism. It's based on your worldview as a Muslim. You know that Allah created the world. And Allah created you to be his slave. وَمَا خَلَقْنَا الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِي. Then the whole world is the creation of Allah. هو الذي خلق لكم ما في السماوات والأرض جميعا ثم استوى إلى الأرض ثم استوى إلى السماء فسواهن سبع سماوات وسبع سماوات وهو بكل شيء عليم. Allah created everything and even created you. But when Allah created you, for you to be able, to be qualified, to be legitimate, to be somebody that is, that has the power to do Allah's will on this earth, you have to be given something that is never given to anybody, and that is knowledge. عَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. But our problem in Islam now, people cannot even understand what is knowledge and what is information. This is the whole cause of the problem. People don't even identify. They cannot differentiate what is knowledge and what is information. Somebody with always, almost 10 information will become a big scholar. Somebody with one information said he's a scholar, a mufti. Everybody wants to be a mufti. So in the number of muftis even outnumbered the number of issues that are supposed to be answered. Allahu Akbar. Sir, Imam, bobu fitna bu magla nak fitna balom linti nin teachers nin student nin teachers ya ta student wot namara tija jamala ti do ko sot la de nin teachers ya ta student wot problem wala mot. And it's what we are gradually but imperceptibly, we don't feel it, is gradually taking up root in this society. I think you get my point. So here as a Muslim, you know that the world is created by Allah. And you are in this world, by you are put here by Allah. And Allah has sent somebody to you with a book, a constitution. And that constitution is the Quran. And the person who actually explained that constitution demonstratively, practically, is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You only have two points of references. That's the Quran. That's your first point of reference. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is your point of reference. So you have two primary point of references. And the third point of reference is what? Is your own community. It's your own people. Is your own good culture, and is your own good civilization. That's why the people, we always say, look at it. They will tell us that, okay, the people are the source of legitimacy in international politics. The people are the source of what? Sovereignty. Sovereignty belongs to the people. This is true. But even the people, and the government, and the president, all of them put together, their sovereignty belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you tell me sovereignty belongs to the people only, you want to remove God from that equation of sovereignty. That brings about secularism. Isn't it? That's why, in fact, you the people, Islam is a social religion, it's not individualistic. You are a servant, and you are able to come together and appoint somebody. And that somebody is not better than you, but because you discover some qualification in that somebody, you gave him your faith, your vote, and your mandate to see your affairs, and that affairs has to be run according to you, what you mandated him to do. When we went to election, Did we mandate our representative to go into secularism or to go into something that is good? We didn't tell them go into secularism. So anybody who wants to bring secularism to us, see, it's very simple. We just call for a fresh election, even in one constituency. We remove him out. Because we never gave him that mandate. Then that person is transgressing. That person is overstepping the authority given to him by the people. And the people are what? The Quran is the first reference point. The Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the reference point. And the people are the custodian of legitimacy. This is how I'm going to put it. I'm not going to say the people are the source, but I will say the people are the custodian of legitimacy. You don't have to be thinking or memorizing the political terminologies of your colonizers. Stop memorizing the political terminology of your colonizers. They fool you, they fool me. They wrote in our books, who was the first person to discover America? We raise our hands. Who? We say Columbus. The biggest lie ever spoken by human mind. Somebody stranded in the sea. Somebody never knew where he was going. Blown by the wind, he found himself on the western coast of America. They are telling me that he discovered America. And when we raise our hands in the classroom, the teacher would say, yes, it's correct. He gave me a mark. I am even better than that teacher. So I think you get my point. So here you must know the source of your reference, the source of your legitimacy, your power. You are the custodian. The president is a civil servant for you. That's why tomorrow Allah will ask the president, what have you done for your people? But he will ask the people, was he the right person that you selected to look after your affairs? That's why Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in an authentic hadith, whoever selects somebody, knowing fully well there is somebody much better than that person, you have betrayed the trust of Allah and the trust of Muhammad and the trust of the believers. So secularism is dead, isn't it? So when this thing supports these three principles, secularism is dead, isn't it? Secularism is dead. So these are the three principles, the weapons that you must use to combat whatever is secularism. But when we say secularism, there is another problem here. Secularism in what sense? It is in the political sense, economic sense, academic sense, you name it, you specify it. Because without specification, you cannot know. But to put it in a nutshell, you know, we will always remain victims of secularism. You know why? Do you know why? We will ever, forever remain victims of secularism until and unless we are reawakened. Our spirits are quickened. Our souls are liberated. Our conscience are free. Our bodies are completely free to fly to the Quran and the Sunnah. You know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran said, وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. Prepare for them whatever is possible for you in terms of power. That power is not to go and kill people with bombs. It's not to take swords and cut the throat of people. It's not to insult people. It is the power of the mind, the power of the spirit, the power of the body, economic power, academic power, scientific power, cultural power, civilizational power. Ask yourself, do you have any of these powers? I don't think you have it. So the only power you have is the Fogajai power. And when you have only the Fogajai power, be prepared for the worst. Because everything that is useless will be thrown onto you as secularism is thrown onto your mind. Otherwise, as a Muslim, if we live by the Quran, I will just simply give you one very simple thing. go to a chapter entirely, a whole chapter, called Surah Shura. Shura cannot be defined as democracy. Shura is more intense, more extensive, more profound, more humane, more practical, more dynamical, and more moderate than any other human ideology. Because when we say shura, it means consultation. In fact, even the word consultation is not doing good service to the translation of the word shura. Shura, even a baby has a right to speak. You know how? Because when a baby is hungry, what does a baby do? It cries. When a baby cries, we know that he is either sick or hungry. The crying of a baby has to be answered by the people in authority. So Shura, a whole chapter, revealed called Shura, verse number 33 to verse number 39. Read carefully. But our problem again is, we never read the Quran properly as the Quran asks us to read it. The Quran commanded the Muslim in Surah Sad, verse number 29. Allahu Akbar, look at this verse. He says, Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun liyadabbaru ayatihi wa liyatadhakkara ulul albab. A book revealed unto you, the Gambian now, and that book is everlastingly producing new ideas, new methods, new procedures, new understanding, new fruits, for you to reflect and ponder its verses, its commandments, its knowledge, and for the people giving knowledge to remind themselves and for them to remind others. But are you doing that? We are not doing it. You know what we are doing? Everybody is trying to memorize the Quran so that everybody can be classified as a memorizer. We have a problem. And let everybody memorize the Quran. But when you memorize anything, understand what you have memorized. Otherwise, I'm afraid your verisimilitude is very bad in the Quran. Let me go to Surah, because I think time is against us. Let me go against it, isn't it? Surah to Surah. The Quran is going to give you 9. Somebody will tell you, okay, Muslims are against secularism, but Muslims don't have any political theory. They don't have any democratic values. They don't have any procedure to achieve democracy. Because actually what is being heard, what is being seen and heard in the entire Islamic world is contradictory and is not in line with the teachings and the guidance of the Quran and the Sunnah. Whatever is in the Islamic countries is absolutely the opposite of what the Quran and the Sunnah ask us to do. We are just fooling ourselves, a deluded, illusioned people, and we think we are on the right side. No, we have to criticize ourselves for us to see our fault, for us to rectify our mistakes. In Surah Al-Shura, verse 33 to 36, listen to what the Quran is telling. Allahu Akbar, فَمَا أُوْتِيْتُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَمَتَاءُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنِيَا وَمَا إِلَّا اللَّهَ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. This verse, if the entire population of the invisible beings, the jinn, and the entire human population in the planets combine their intellectual power together, they can never exhaust the meaning of these verses. And you are telling me, no, my sheikh in that country said this. My teacher in this school said this. You forget that these are the words of Allah. That's the number one example of stupidity. The word of Allah, you comparing it to the word of a sheikh? Nimbalafa wa ratabake. Alala kumo. Itaka wa limit to just somebody. Listen what Allah is going to tell you. I might be wrong or right, but history is my witness and history is my examiner. Allah Jube, there is a declaration for everybody who is a believer. فَمَا أُوتِيتُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ, whatever is given to you and you consider is as good, beneficial and advantageous for your survival in this world, Allah say, when you compare it to what Allah has given you, this is whatever idea or ideology or system that you are made to believe that is the best, Allah is فَمَتَاءُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, it's just a temporary thing. It will never satisfy you. You know why? Read this for me, because my eyesight is getting very much blown now. How many minutes?
Sorry, sir, for the interruption.
5 minutes. 5 minutes, stop here. I'll write it up before that. You understand what I mean? So for that matter, look at this idea. Whatever is given is just transient. It's something that is transitional. It cannot be here forever. That's why Allah said, لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His existence, His prophets, His books, وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ, and whatever Allah has given them in this world as a means, they rely on Allah and rely on those material means. Allahu Akbar. That's number. There are 10 values here, but 9 is given to us, 1 is universal. الَّذِينَ إِفَوْا إِسَهُ الَّذِينَ اِجْتَنِبُوا الْكَبَائِرَ الْإِسْمُ وَالْفَوَاهِشِ. Listen to this. الَّذِينَ اِجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ الْإِسْمُ وَالْفَوَاهِشِ, those who prevented themselves from committing the heinous sins and the shameful deeds. So if you want to appoint a leader to oversee your affairs, the first quality of any leader you want to put above you should be somebody who is a number one believer in Allah, and somebody who is, using all the means Allah has given him to use. But he must be morally somebody who is perfect, somebody who is not doing shameful deeds or sinful things. Isn't it one? وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ, those who answered their Lord, the call of Allah. When somebody called us to prayers on when prayer time is, what did they say? هَيَّ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ, isn't it? When they are called to come to the mission or to the work of Allah. الَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ. No, the first verse, I've got to finish it. وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُوا هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. Whenever they are angry, they are forgiving. A believer, somebody who will exploit all the means available, somebody who will never do shameful deeds, somebody who will never commit sins. And when they are angry, because they are in a position of power, they are ready to forgive people. Isn't it? وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ, those who are hacking or quicken, or they are responsive to answer the call of their Lord. وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ, they are all the time establishing and exercising prayers, because prayers in the salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. And in one of the first values, يَتَّنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِسْمُ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Prayers, a good prayer, a complete prayer, an acceptable prayer, prevents you from doing shameful deeds and sinful actions. وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ, and all their affairs is based on the principle of consultation. Look at it. Bringing this term, this principle, between prayers and investing materially in the way of Allah. وَمِمَّا رَزَقَنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, whatever Allah has given them, they just bestow and invest it in the way of Allah. Isn't it? In this 9 virtues, or these nine values, we can even be able to reduce or to deduce the three divisions of government: the executive, the legislative, and the judiciary, including the military. You know why? Because it is the parliament. وَالَّذِينَ سَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ. It is a mandate that is incumbent upon all the parliamentarians to answer to the call of the people, to come to the parliament, to legislate laws that are beneficial to us. And when it is being done, all of them must be in the, under the roof of the parliament, because they are the people who give us the appropriation. They will tell the government, when the government present the budget, it is the parliament that approves the budget. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. The third one is what? وَإِذَا أَصَابَ الَّذِينَ. And those who, إِذَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْبَغْيُ. Whenever somebody transgressed against them, whenever somebody violated their freedom, whenever somebody committed injustice against them, فَهُمْ يَنْتَصِرُونَ. They come together as one body and fight against injustice. Are we doing that? Is it not the judiciary doing that? I think that's the function of the judiciary. I think the army can defend the Gambians whenever there is an external attack. And it is contained in this verse. Ponder, reflect. You free your mind, free your body, your spirit, and your soul is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the fruition or in the end, I'll refer you to one very important verse. Everybody should make sure that it is your company. You walk with it day in, day out, even when sleeping. وَلْتَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. These two, three principles, let everybody use it as a weapon. Calling people to righteousness, enjoining people to do good things, forbidding and warning people not to do wicked things. If this is done, the other verse in Surah Al-Hajj will be completely fulfilled, and it is where I'm going to close it, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أقاموا الصلاة وأمروا بالمعروف ونهوا عن المنكر ولله عاقبة الأمور. Those when we empower them in this land, they will always be enjoying righteousness, and they will be forbidding people from wickedness, and to Allah everything will be returned, and Allah is the last, and is the last determiner, and everything will end up under the power and the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On this note, I say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and I thank you for your beautiful and attentive listening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.